stuff, kid.
All I gotta say is Portland can't say shit.
It's scintillating! It's sensational! It's Seattle Sounders FC Soccer!
Hello, and welcome to another episode of Sounders Scuttlebutt. I'm your host, Cameron Collins, and I am here with the man I've been hyping up this way the last few episodes. It's the one and only Nicholas Biello! What's up, dude?
Hey, you know what? I need you to learn to play the tuba, and I need you to just kind of, you know, give me a little tuba intro, you know?
Womp, womp.
That would be trombone. There you go. Yeah. I like it. I like it. Yeah.
I was a saxophone player. I did not play trombone or tuba. My dad played trombone in the Notre Dame marching band.
Oh. Wow.
The football team was terrible back then.
I would say you dodged one. You dodged a bullet there. You could have been a Notre Dame guy.
Oh, I planned on being a Notre Dame guy, and they didn't let me in. That's why I have my Santa Clara National Champion shirt on, because that's where I went instead.
Nice, nice.
Speaking of which, breaking news out of Princeton, New Jersey, where a former star soccer player for Wesleyan murdered his younger brother, former soccer star from Michigan, and I think we can agree...
Murder is bad? Reagan, yes.
Murder is bad, but from Michigan, you know... Maybe let him off because the guy went to Michigan.
Okay, on that note, I need to crack one open. It's 3 o'clock in the afternoon. Why not?
Oh, that sounded good.
By the way, I was listening to the recording from our last episode, and our double snap came out really good.
That's great. That is great.
You don't always get to tell... live while we're on the, you know, on the call.
Absolutely. And we've got a fun show today. We've got some non-soccer scuttlebutt, which I'm excited about. We've got some soccer scuttlebutt. We've got a whole lot of soccer to talk about because guess what?
A lot happened.
Sounders won at a game yesterday that was super fun. That's right. We're recording on Thursday, February 27th, a day after the Sounders advanced in the CONCACAF Champions Cup. I almost said League Cup.
Not even 24 hours.
Yeah. And which means we're back next Wednesday, which feels like, oh my gosh, another one. I was thinking about how it was great. We were going to have a break, but you know what?
Bring it. Let's go.
Yep. Yep. We'll take it. How you doing? How's your last, let's see, the game was at 7:30. How's your last 20 hours been?
Well, when the game ended, I came back to the house, dropped off Roma and Bernie, then immediately turned around, went to my work parking lot, and took a power nap. This way I can maximize my sleep, because I got like maybe an hour and 20 minutes, and then was, you know, basically set my alarm for 10 minutes before I had to start. And got started at, you know, 2 a.m. and, you know, got done. And yeah, so now I'll probably get a few hours of sleep today and do it all over again.
Yay. I look forward to when you have a daytime job again.
Yeah.
Although I like recording during the day. It's easier for me than night. I often have meetings and work stuff in the evening, not 2 a.m., but, you know, 7 p.m.
Well, hey, you know, while I'm waiting for the right opportunity back in my career field. You know, this is a good role that, you know, works with my schedule where it's not interfering with stuff too much. As long as I can put up with not sleeping at all. So,
I mean, it isn't the first time in your life you've done that. I'm sure when Roma was born, you had very little sleep.
I mean, honestly, most of my life has been like that. I'm usually historically a, you know, 3 to 5 hours sleep a night kind of person.
Oof. So I mean, I go to sleep late, but I need 8 hours.
Yeah. Now it's just at least once a week, sometimes twice a week, I'm not sleeping at all. And then the other days I'm trying to get, you know, between 1 to 4 hours of sleep, and then maybe one day of just no alarms, letting my body just pass out.
Good. I'm glad you have one day like that at least.
Not ideal, but we're working on it.
Yeah.
Yeah, so last 20 hours are great. The game was fun. Roma was really excited to go to her first game of the season.
Yeah.
She got to meet, or not meet, but got to see Roman Torres again.
Yeah, her namesake.
Yeah, ish. And
Ish. And they know, does he remember
yeah,
her when
yeah.
he, yeah.
When like when you went up to him, said, "Oh, Romana," and he immediately was like, "Good to see you again," and she was being her big goofy smile. Yeah, and then when we were on the Jumbotron, she got a huge kick out of that. She saw
Oh, I
herself.
didn't notice.
Oh yeah, she saw herself up on there, and I should have taken a picture of her because
Yeah.
for like the next, 2 minutes, she just had this huge grin on her face. She was really excited as a 5-year-old that, that's a big deal.
Oh yeah, I always loved being on the Jumbotron at Mariners games and Seahawks games. So Sounders equally, although we get less Jumbotron time, so maybe it's even more significant.
But yeah, so really good day. Got to hang with some friends, including Scuttlebutt listener Eric.
Yeah.
Got to hang with you. Got to hang with a whole bunch of people, and just great energy. Great, and what a beautiful night in the stands.
Yeah, a little cold by the end, but that's okay. That was my fault for not dressing warm enough.
How about you?
Yeah, good. I mean, the match was fun. I went with my dad, and it's always, he's 84, so every time I can hang out with him, especially Sounders, is always fun. And Lions Council President Dwayne Nakamura sits a few seats away from me now in the next section over. So it's always nice to see him and just kind of hung out. And then little frustrating. Well, busy day today. I got my COVID booster,
Nice.
so I am boosted up. I was past due, so I thought I'd better get that. But I'm also immunocompromised, right? So I need my regular one. So I think that's my 11th shot in total in the 4 years or something like that.
Yeah, almost quarterly, semi-annually.
Yeah, every 3 months is when I'm supposed to get it.
Yeah.
Yeah, and then I've had COVID 3 times, so that pushed it back 3 months each time.
Gotcha.
Always glad to have that because I'm sure it's why COVID, when I get it, is not as severe, along with getting to take the antibodies because I'm immunocompromised. But love it. And then had some Superhawks meetings because Sunday is the first Superhawks game of the season at Wenatchee, so I won't be attending. But a week from tomorrow is the first home game. So if you're not doing anything Friday, what is that, March 6th or something like that, 7th, a 7 p.m. start over at Seattle Pacific. Come on out. It's free. You can come watch the Superhawks get to our Northwest. We won the Northwest Division last year, and we were West Conference champions the year before. So we're looking to get Western, or not Western Conference, West Conference champions again, and make it going to be tough. LA is always good. Eugene was the worst team in the league last year. They have some real players this year. They're going to be good. But yeah, so should be fun. And then had to deal with the fact that my recycling hadn't been picked up in 5 weeks. They've just been skipping us. And I've been on the phone with them 3 different times, not them, the city, and the city's telling them what to do.
Yeah.
And I complained last week, so they came and picked up only mine and no one else's. And then they picked up down the block one. And so I called them. I was like, man, this is stupid. And they also, I put out extra because you can do that here.
Yeah.
And they didn't take it. And so they finally today came and I didn't pay attention because I saw them pull up. I was like, sweet. And then I looked afterwards. They didn't take my extra bin or all the extra box of stuff I put out. I had to call again. I was like, look, lady, I know it's not your fault. I am so frustrated. She's like, I'd be frustrated too. And so she's escalating it again because they're supposed to pick that stuff up. So it's been 5 weeks without recycling pickup. There's only one company that can do it. And so that's why the city has a contract with them. And some employee is not doing their job.
Yeah.
So I if it had been a single mistake, whatever, but it's now
This is willful
been,
ignorance.
yeah, they're willfully doing it. So I got fired up and that got me perfectly ready for us to come in and talk some soccer. But
Hot takes. Hey, we get
before we do it,
yeah.
Oh, go ahead.
Oh, I was gonna say, we got a few things that have gone on in the last 24 hours, you know?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I mean, for me, Gene Hackman dying.
Yeah.
He was dead yesterday, but they didn't find it until last night. It's such a sad story. I don't know totally what happened.
I don't think anyone does yet. I feel like there's going to be more to the story that seemed very weird.
He was 93, I think. So here's my guess, and this is complete speculation. I don't know any facts. I do work on true crime documentaries, but they're non-exploitative. So I'm going to put on my true crime exploitative documentary hat. I think he probably died, and then she took some pills and finished herself because she had pills scattered around her.
Yeah.
But also she could have died of the flu and there was no one to take care of him, or they both had the flu. I mean, I've known my parents, you know, in their 70s and 80s. They have friends in their 80s that almost died because the flu is really bad right now.
I mean, but the other side of that is, though, the X factor is it sounds like the dog also passed. So that could
One dog did. They had two more that were running around, one inside the house and one outside running around.
That makes me wonder if it's like a carbon monoxide situation.
Yeah, you know? Or the dog got into the pills that were left around the counter because the wife was covered with pills all over the place.
And that could be whatever dogs. I don't want to be.
There's too much conjecture that can happen. Regardless, Gene Hackman.
What was your favorite Gene Hackman role?
That's tough. I mean, I think Hoosiers is hard not to the love. So, but what about you?
I mean, for me, it's going to sound silly, but one of the first Gene Hackman roles that I can remember was a movie as a kid that I really liked, and that was The Poseidon Adventure.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah.
I mean, Enemy of the State is the one that always stands out to me because I was a senior in high school when that came out.
Yeah.
But, I never loved the Superman movie, but he was good in that. Unforgiven.
I mean, he was great in Unforgiven.
Crimson Tide.
Yeah.
I mean, he had so many good movies. Get Shorty is a classic. I loved Get Shorty. That came out, when 15 or 16. I saw that in the theater.
Well, I think the interesting thing about him is that he just kind of went in, you know, whatever direction he wanted to, really. He just kind of did his thing. And I kind of thought that was interesting. So even though I wasn't the biggest fan, I got to see every movie he's ever been in. I can respect the fact that he's known for some very, memorable roles.
Yeah, I think I view him, and maybe this is overstating Harvey Keitel, but I view him as similar to Harvey Keitel.
Okay.
Where even when he's not the lead, he's an amazing actor that can steal the show. But because he plays a lot of these smaller characters, which Gene Hackman didn't always do, I think later in his career he did.
Yeah.
Harvey Keitel's like one of my favorite actors, though. So.
Well, I'm also a Tarantino fan, so.
Yeah, but Bad Lieutenant. It's such a rough movie, but he's so good in that. But yeah, I mean, Gene Hackman, legend. You know, I think people that are a little bit older than us that were into A Bridge Too Far and The French Connection,
yeah,
they have a whole nother attachment to him. Oh, and in The Birdcage. He was so good in The Birdcage. How can I forget? I actually like The Birdcage better than La Cage aux Folles. Even though I love the original French films.
I mean, we can go full PCU. I love dropping PCU references from time to time, but you know, the Kane Hackman theory where at any time on TV there's a movie starring either Michael Caine or Gene Hackman. And then the Bridge Too Far shower scene.
I wish TV isn't like that anymore. What's so funny about that is PCU was on TV like 24 hours a day, 7 days a week in the early Comedy Central days, like when it was in the, was it the Ha Ha Network or the Laugh Network, something like that, before it became Comedy Central, and then switched to Comedy Central. They had to fill all that extra time where they didn't have original programming. And so I saw PCU so many times because of that.
I just rewatched it last few weeks ago. I own it on DVD because it's not available on streaming.
Yeah.
And I love that movie. It
holds up too.
Yeah. Favreau, Jeremy Piven, David Spade. Really good.
I mean, Jeremy Piven sucks, but
but
I like him in that role.
Yeah, I mean, he's always been kind of a douche. What was the other early Piven role that made me laugh. One Crazy Summer. He was one of the dude bros in that. And it was like, whoa, that felt like a decade before he should have even been involved.
Yeah.
But.
Yeah. So poor Gene Hackman. Of course, also, yesterday also Michelle Trachtenberg.
Yeah, that one. I was just about to say that. That one was weird. Like, growing up and in my young adult years, I really liked a lot of what Joss Whedon did. Firefly, Buffy, Angel. Yep. Really upset that him, Bryan Singer, Bryan Singer and Kevin Spacey turned out to be pieces of shit.
Yeah.
Because a lot of their works were movies I used to watch all the time. You know, Midnight in the Garden of Good and Evil, Usual Suspects, you know, even the original X-Men with Bryan Singer, Buffy the Vampire Slayer. I mean, Joss Whedon was involved in Toy Story, Avengers, all these things. And it just really bums me out when they turn out to.
And she, of course, was a victim of Joss Whedon's creepiness.
Yeah.
You know, it's funny because she kind of got a diva, like treated her like she was a diva when she was younger. But now you learn what she was dealing with. And no wonder she was up in arms on that set and reckless. And it's because she needed guidance and help from adults.
Yeah. It's
funny looking back how like, oh,
Unfortunately, when someone passes that young, it's usually not a good sign.
I mean, liver failure. She got a liver transplant a few months ago, and it looked like her body just rejected it.
Oh, okay. That's
what happened. And I'm guessing she had an independent streak because it's a bummer that she was living alone and continuing to get sick rather than like her mom found her. So I wish she had been able to get some care and taken care of, because she seemed like a nice person and had some truly iconic roles, including in Pete and Pete, which I forgot about.
Yeah.
So, yeah. I mean, here's the funny thing. I hated her on Buffy at first.
Oh, well, the character
was insufferable. And spoilers, but not really, the show's old. She came out of nowhere.
Literally.
She was not a character on the show. And it was like the universe changed in such a way that she was created literally out of nowhere and then just existed. And everyone remembered her from then on because of the way that, like, she had been there the whole life.
Yeah.
But when Buffy's mom dies, that episode is what changed my mind on her, because she was such a fabulous actress in her grief in that episode that's when her character won me over.
Yeah. But I mean, but at the same time, it was kind of a jumping the shark era of Buffy, where it was like, who the hell is this? Like, it was very
that's what it was.
Bizarre.
It was totally the bringing Leonardo DiCaprio into Growing Pains.
Yeah.
Like, absolutely.
So rest in peace to both Michelle and Gene.
Unfortunately, this is going to be something we deal with more and more.
This is the second week in a row we've talked about that's going to be happening more. And I guess you were rather that's the word I was trying to come up with and I couldn't come up with it, so thank you.
Hopefully it's the rule of threes and we're done now for a little bit, but we'll see.
Are we counting? Never mind, I'm not going to go there. Not going there. So, are we counting Antigua as the third death? Because they are out of the... No.
That is right. But before we get to soccer, we have a couple scuttlebutts from our mailbag over on the Discord. If you're not a member of our Discord, please go join and get involved in the conversation. The scuttlebutt mailbag is where we go to answer your questions, comments, and concerns throughout these episodes.
A lot of fun going into the game as well, too. A lot of fun going into the match day thread.
Yeah, definitely during the match, a lot of people talking, and it was nice where I could pull up the game on YouTube, but it was nice having immediate, I guess people were behind us live at the game, so being like, was that offsides or was that onsides? Like, real quick, get a response.
Yeah.
Which we will get to. But Kenny Sloth asked us, what's the best pho spot?
I mean, this would have been a question for a couple days ago when it was pissing rain. Because that is the best time for pho. When it is just Seattle sunshine, cold rain, that is the pho weather. For me, honestly, I really do like, you know, Tan Brothers. I want my free cream puff at the end of my meal.
Oh, you can't see me.
No.
Oh, man, no. I was rubbing my nipples for you and everything.
Oh,
I'll give you a cream pie. Don't worry.
That's something different. Cream puff is different than a cream pie. And wow, I'm just going to not go any further down that road.
So you are correct. Tan Brothers is my spot as well. It's because for me as a vegetarian, now vegan, they have the best vegetarian broth.
Okay.
And it's readily available. And when I wasn't vegetarian, I loved it as well. And the cream puff was excellent. And I remember going over there with Larry Mizell, who who's on KXP, does the afternoons on KXP, and him putting like an entire container of that chili oil in there. And I was just like, man, Larry, that's going to kill me. But that's it for me. Any location. I do have some. I like the Capitol Hill one better than some of the others. I also like some of the ones that used to be Tan Brothers that have spun off into their own thing that are now.
Yeah.
So the kids have taken over Tan Brothers. It's no longer the parents. So I feel like
the next Tan Brothers, the next generation.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't like, what's the one? There's one on like 12 between just east of 12th and Jackson who wanted to do vigilante justice and beat homeless people up with pho bok. Don't leave them to beat homeless people up with bats. That one is apparently amazing, but I will not go because what they were posting on their Instagram about wanting to beat up homeless people with bats to get them away from their building. Not the way to deal with issues. Kenny likes Lily on Hilltop in Tacoma. And damn, dude, you're hanging out in Hilltop. Props to you.
I mean, honestly, though, that also kind of feels like exactly where good pho might just have to live.
Yeah. Down the hill, right next to UW Tacoma, where I teach sometimes, they did have a Tan Brothers, one that used to be Tan Brothers that isn't anymore, that's called like Thin Bros or something like that now, that was good as well. So got to give props out to that. You know what? Anywhere you can get pho is good. It is truly a fantastic dish, but it's different. It's, you know, we treat it as soup. I believe if I'm correct, it's actually a breakfast food generally.
Oh, I thought so. You realize that I drive by Lily every single day.
Oh, really? On your route?
Yeah, I literally, there's a, so for right now I'm delivering some bread to restaurants and grocery stores and such. And one of my stops is literally a block from there. So at like 3 a.m. every day, I'm getting out of my truck, delivering stuff there. And, I kind of have my head on a swivel every day when I'm doing that.
Yeah. Pho Ga is a breakfast, the chicken one. Looks like sometimes depending on the region in Vietnam, they have it for breakfast, which sounds like a good breakfast to me too.
Yeah. I mean, we are pretty lucky in this area. There's so many options. There's so many really good spots to go. Definitely if you haven't had pho, I think Tan Brothers is a good starting spot.
I think so. It's quick. It's easy. What I like about them is the broth. They have giant, containers of the broth already cooking constantly, so you don't have to wait for it to be prepared.
Yeah.
You can bring it out fast. My buddy Caroline and I went out there recently to Tan Brothers and had a nice meal. So definitely a fan of that. Alex Diaz also asked us, what's our favorite Liquid Death flavor? I don't know if you got to have any. I know you bought some.
I've had, because you got me curious. When you were watching my dog, I like to stock my fridge with stuff you like.
Yeah.
And the one with a little bit of lime. I do like a little citrus in my water for sure. So
I generally do. Yeah. Theirs is a little weird though. It reminds me more of like an agua fresca type flavor.
Okay.
Than a traditional lime that you might get in like a talking rain or a LaCroix.
Yeah.
Of course, Talking Rain, the Seattle OG, I'm always going to love that. But Liquid Death is my favorite. But usually I drink the unflavored.
See, I thought the original OG is Galazzo.
that's the original soccer
I
energy
know,
drink.
I know. Stuff that's yeah. I
their problem was those of us that loved it couldn't pay for it because we were so used to just
getting it like, for free at basically any event.
Yeah, and then also Gorilla FC would always have our events at Galazzo, which was the old BMW dealership out there in Capitol Hill, and so we would get it for free all we wanted in there too. So I had thousands of free cans of it, and then maybe bought it once in the store because it was $4.
Yeah. Yeah, but because they're giving it all away. You know, someone had to pay for it.
Yeah, yeah. Shout out to Galazzo there. And move your mic back a little bit, Nick.
Am I a little too hot?
You got a little close-up into there.
Okay.
Yeah, let's show that. Definitely Liquid Death. Love it. I get why people don't like the flavors. The watermelon's weird. Some of the other flavors are weird. They have now introduced, we talked about it before, root beer, cola, and Dr. Pepper. I love the Dr. Pepper one, is what I said on the show. I'm kind of over it now because as you drink more and more, it's not actual Dr. Pepper. It's like flavored sparkling water that has a Dr. Pepper flavor. So I am going to bust open a Liquid Death root beer. We are not sponsored yet. Alex set us up perfectly for that. It's okay. But they also have teas. And so low calorie, sweetened with agave, peach tea. Give us some money, Liquid Death. Sponsor us. Some of our rival podcasts are now being sponsored by Apple TV and the like. So you can give us some money, Liquid Death. We love you.
Hey, we are the people's podcast. You know,
we are
here for, you know,
number 3 on the charts, number 1 in your hearts.
Hey, ultimately the way, you know, the way I kind of describe it to people is really this is us, and this is, we're talking about us being the collective us, so I'm talking to you, the listener, as well. We're all having a beverage, talking Sounders soccer. If you're anything like me, when I'm listening to, you know, my podcast, when I'm doing stuff, you know, I'm kind of talking out loud to myself as well, going, oh, he's so full of shit. As you're probably saying about me right now. So,
and as we know, like, hung out with Alex Diaz, one of our listeners last time. I don't want to say his real name because I don't know what he, Jose Raze is his screen name here. I had to look it up real quick to make sure I got that right. Know Jose Raze in real life, get to hang out with them, especially during Superhawks season on a weekly basis. Also most Sounders matches. So always great to have listeners because you're as much a part of this podcast as we are. We're just the ones on the mic.
Exactly. And I know, as a matter of fact, Alex, looking forward to having Alex join us in ECS one or two times this year.
Yeah.
Get a chance to recently mentioned in the Discord that if you're, you know, curious about ECS, you want to see what it's all about, reach out to me. I would love to be your Sherpa, your shaman to what I love about, you know, about being a supporter. Do it in a hopefully unintimidating way. Be there to kind of answer any questions that you may have, help guide you to, this is what we do, this is why we do it. These are, you know, and just kind of feel out the community that we are. And fellow podcast listener Eric 13 is usually sitting next to me for a lot of the games. Yeah. And it's just, you know, it's just a great community. The whole soccer thing, you know, the whole Sounders community. It's not even just this podcast, but, you know, there are people that, you know, every day, I don't know if I know it's what it's like for me, but I imagine it's the same for you. You know, walking through the concourse before a game, you're going to inevitably run into someone you haven't seen in a little while. You got a hug for them and just kind of a quick catch up. And it's great. And there's definitely an energy right now in these first two games. There's an energy in the stadium, not just pregame, during the games, postgame. It's exciting. It feels like it's been a little while since it's been this kind of energy.
And I was glad it carried through to the second game. Real quick, before we go too far away from it. Last game was super fun. You know, CONCACAF. made us take pictures of everything we were going to put up. And so I didn't have time to say, all right, I want to take a picture of all these flags. So I just Googled Gorilla FC banner, took a picture off the internet that was like a thumbnail, sent it to the Sounders to give to CONCACAF, and that's all I put up. So I had a ton of extra time. I was hanging out, talking to Jay and Amanda, who are on ECS Pub League.
Oh, yeah.
And Jay, of course, was on the Bears with me last year, and we won the championship in Classic. And it's going to be she's won two seasons in a row, both seasons. It's going to be rough for her when she doesn't win this year because not a phase. FC is going all the way. Yes, we're named after.
Hey, no reveals. No reveals. No,
we're named after Emo.
Okay.
That's all.
Okay, but yeah, we're gonna hold because yeah. Official reveals will come out very soon.
That's true. So it'll be rough for her, but hang out, talk, and of course Amanda's new friend from Pub League, who is because of Pub League gotten involved with ECS, completely outside person who went to Sounders matches but had no involvement with ECS, and then through Pub League got involved and now is setting up with ECS. So I went and I put every flag that went out that wasn't the BFG. Is that what the big ones are called?
Yeah, the BFG, the big fucking guys.
So not the two BFGs, but all the ones that go on the 16.
Technically BFFs, but yeah.
Oh, BFF. Yeah, whatever. But all the other flags, I'm the one who put them on the poles and taped them up. So I was like, I got time. I'm going to hang out and do it. And so I did, and that was fun. Then I ran off to find you, but you got stuck in traffic.
Yeah.
But that's okay. I still had a good time running around, eating hot dogs, doing stuff. Always a fun game.
Yeah. What other kind of scuttlebutt do we got going on right now?
That's all of our outside soccer scuttlebutt. Should we jump into soccer talk?
Yeah. Why don't we talk a little bit about some of the results of the last couple days?
Yeah. Big results.
Yeah, non-Sounders results. Let's talk about the CCC, the Champions League Champions Cup. So Miami finished the job against Sporting Kansas City, knocked Sporting Kansas City out. They advanced, as did LAFC. LAFC got a 1-0 victory over Colorado.
That's so frustrating because their goals should have never been allowed in that first game, and so they were CONCACAF'd.
Well, I mean, Atencio played 77 minutes.
Nice.
So good to see him get some more time. At the same time, though, I do not anticipate LAFC or Miami making it to the finals, so give them some more fixture congestion. So, sure, yeah, why not?
Atencio played left mid?
That's okay. Yeah.
Okay.
And, I mean, it sounds like they're – first off, Colorado is severely caught the injury bug. They are – just hurting all over. So basically it's all hands on deck.
They did get Reggie Cannon back, thankfully. And Mihailovic and Bassett are healthy and Kevin Cabral. So they have most of their stars, at least, it seems like. But yes.
Yeah, they were.
I forgot Chris Armas was their coach.
So like 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 players on their injury list. Just nuts. Then yesterday, outside of the Sounders match, the RSL match, who is our next opponent, lost at home to Herediano. So,
fantastic ending to that one. I mean, 1-1, it would have ended with Herediano advancing, but they RSL had to push so far forward that they had a breakaway going back the other way on a counterattack, and the goalie took them down. Somehow only got a yellow card, deserved a red, but it didn't matter at that point since they were going through and RSL was going to be out of the tournament. So they put in the penalty to not lock that one away 2-1. It was pretty fun ending in that one.
Well, what's crazy is the first half, RSL had 14 shots to 1 for Herediano, and only 3 were on target. But then in the second half, after Herediano got their goal in the 70th minute, RSL had another 16 shots. They had 30 shots in that game. So they were definitely trying to push. I just don't know if it was one of those things where, just shots from all over the place or
some of it. I mean, they had a few where they should have been on target at the end and just kicked them wide. But it was so frantic that they were just trying to get anything at the goal.
Yeah, they're just trying to throw things and hope something would stick.
Yeah.
So with that in mind, and then we advance. I gotta say, well, no, we're not gonna talk about this game just yet. We will talk about the Sounders game, but why don't we wrap up any other scuttlebutt before we take a break and talk about the game?
Yeah. Tonight is Saprissa Vancouver.
Correct, in Vancouver, and Vancouver is down 2-1, but they do have one away goal, so that could be interesting. I'm gonna try and keep that game on, see what happens there.
Yeah, it should be an interesting one. Trying to think of anything else, any other signing going on in overseas or anything? Nothing major. I don't think we've seen any.
Stuff. Yeah, honestly, now that the season started, I'm kind of more focused on domestic North American soccer more than anything else right now.
Looks like Premier League might be moving to Netflix.
Interesting.
So they're considering selling the rights to Netflix over from NBC/Peacock. / Universal.
Did you watch any of the MLS serial that they got going on right now? I'm trying to think what it's called.
Round, I don't know.
Onside.
Yeah, it's last season. I know. Interview. I have not. Dan Boniface told me about it. Frequent contributor to the show from out there in Colorado, and it sounds like, or from what I've been told, that it is excellent. And also it's from the guys that made the F1.
Well, yeah. I mean,
it's going to be quality.
Kind of surprised me as we were driving home from the game yesterday. Bernadette was telling me, oh man, I watched that second episode. It was really good. I'm like, just kind of usually she'll watch the Sounders games, but she won't necessarily go to watch non-Sounders soccer matches, yeah. And so the fact that she was getting into it, it was like, okay. Very cool stuff.
So one other question before we take a break here. The Epstein files are getting released tomorrow. Any reason for concern for the podcast?
No comment.
And with that, listen to me talk about joining the Patreon. Hey everybody, this is one of your hosts, Cameron Collins. Now, I know we said this time was time for a break, but really, it's a time for me to talk to you about our corporate overlords. And our corporate overlords are us. That's right, we would love it if you would head on over to patreon.com and look for Sounders Scuttlebutt Podcast. We will put the link here in the show. And subscribe. You can subscribe for as little as $1.74 a month. Now, what will that get you? Well, I'll guarantee you get at least one extra episode per month. That'll be a cool interview or something like that that otherwise you would not hear. Now, we might put out promos or other things that include that, but the whole episode intact will only be available for you Patreons, at least initially. Now, there will be other stuff that we put in there, but this is where we're starting at. Why, you ask? Well, we have bills to pay, and we need to make sure that we can keep this show going. You would not believe the going rate for PA announcers. So head on over to Patreon, go to Sounders Scuttlebutt Podcast, and subscribe. You even get a cool little downloadable membership that has our logo on it. That's Sounders Scuttlebutt Podcast over at patreon.com, patreon.com. Now back to your regularly scheduled programming. And we're back. Yes, please join our Patreon. We'd love to have you. It's as cheap as $1.74. You can always give more, but we would be happy with anything. It helps us keep the costs. I mean, we're not making money, right? It's covering the costs of keeping this podcast going. And it'd be nice if we could get Nicholas a new mic.
It's not so much the mic. It's the trip back down to Mexico City for the Cruz Azul match that I need to. Oh, yeah.
We have, 10 days then to put that together?
Can't do it this time around. Can't do it.
Maybe next round.
Well, I went in 2016 for the Club America game at Azteca. I went in 2022 for the final against Pumas. Mexico City has become one of my favorite cities in the world. I love Mexico City. So if you're listening, take a look. Take a look at Aero Mexico. Take a look at wherever you can find a quick flight. If you're interested, reach out to me. Let me know, because I probably know a few people that are getting together, especially with ECS. Last time we did it for the final, basically I made the recommendation of a hotel that I've stayed at a few times, and that ended up kind of being the ECS hotel. So we had, something like 70 of our 100 people within a 2-minute walk of our hotel. Mexico City is so, so amazing. So if you have the ability to make it happen, and thanks to Pub Leaguer Lars Gunther, who was my roommate last time, I can point you in the direction of some amazing street food. He definitely did his research, and we enjoyed some of the best street food I've ever had.
Nice.
So can't say enough good things about Mexico City.
Yeah, it's great. I got a buddy who just went down there last week. Obviously it depends on when you fly, but because of his schedule, his flight down was only $158.
Oh, wow.
His flight back was $450, but that has more to do with when he was coming back. I'm sure you can figure out different days, especially since it's a midweek match.
Yeah. I mean, I think when I went, we had probably about 15 days notice, and I think I got round trip under $500.
Wow.
Which was pretty good for such short notice. So, anyways, something to consider. I highly, highly, highly recommend thinking about any kind of CONCACAF away trip when you have the opportunity. They are legendary. Speaking of which, I ran into some Antigua fans yesterday after the game and had a really nice conversation with some people that came up from Antigua. Awesome. Flew out for the game. Nothing but complimentary things to say to us. They were almost apologetic in that, your club is just so much more superior, and this is only our second time in the competition, and just kind of sharing with them. Yeah, we were there once too when we were first going to Champions League games, getting beat by the Monterey's of the world and the Santa Lagunas, Santos Lagunas of the world, it's just really great. That's what I love about this competition. So many people from Guatemala in the stands yesterday in a good way. I hope that continues with the Cruz Azul match. We've never played Cruz Azul before, so this one will be interesting. The Pumas fans were amazing. Both home and away, Pumas fans were great. America fans and Chivas fans have been, not always the greatest. So we'll see how it goes. We'll see how it goes with Cruz Azul. But I'm optimistic. Optimistic.
I will say, I mentioned it in the Discord match day channel yesterday, but there was players of Antigua that came over and were signing on the Bromand after the match, and there was a kid out there who had bought one of those jerseys they were selling outside. And
oh, the guy that was right in front of where I was standing the whole time.
Yeah. they came over and were signing. He signed autographs for Sounders fans, which I thought was really, really cool that the players would be willing to come sign for the opposing team. And
well, that kid was basically standing at the base of the stairwell for the whole game. Just, oh, wow. Just
I'm
yeah,
glad he got it then.
And unfortunately, he walked away. He was like grabbing food when they scored their one goal. Right in front of him. I felt bad for the guy.
The kid was a Sounders fan ultimately, though. So
okay.
He was supporting both teams. So I don't know what deal was there, but yeah.
I gotta say, I really thought their kits were sharp. That
oh, yeah. Nice
purple and you know, pinkish purple. You know, just really nice two tone. Really enjoyed that. I love a good kit.
So before we get to the match, let's throw a few questions that came out of the Discord that are more general about the Sounders. Dan the Bastard said, "Where do I find the official Pepo apology form?" I mean,
hey, we're two. You know, if you heard Coach Schmetzer's post game press conference. He's doing everything he can to pump the brakes a little bit on expectations.
I mean, that's his job, though, right?
Yeah, no. What's
up with Smetcher's head? He has like a giant, looks like a healing wound on his head, up in his forehead. Did you notice that from the press conference?
No, I didn't.
Looks like he got a cut on his forehead. So it's kind of like a big gouge was taken out of his head. I was like, man. Maybe he got hit in practice or something.
Yeah, I mean, that very well could be.
But yeah, well, here, until we have a reason to not be excited, be excited. This is the Sounders fans need to be excited.
Yes. So, but stay measured, you know? Don't go all gloom and doom where, oh, this is the worst thing ever. Yeah. Hyperbole. Keep the hyperbole down, you know?
So Patrick GC also is 24 PDLV to 25 PDLV the single biggest improvement over one off season that we've seen, I think, again, goes to what you were saying right there.
Yeah.
I think it could be, but wait.
But let's think about that. Look, that's a really good question, though. Like, maybe 2015 to 2016, Christian Roldan?
Possibly.
Who else might be in that conversation?
Brad Evans might be in there at some point.
I don't know. He always seemed to be
he was solid, but he became like an integral, like he had to be in the lineup every week type player.
I don't think it really counts. I don't think it's really fair. And I don't think it's in the spirit of the question to go with, you know, Paul Rothrock, you know, because I see the spirit of the question of a regular contributor, not someone who broke out. But
although you could argue the same for Pedro, that last year he was injured and just never got the chance to break out.
But he got enough appearances.
Yeah.
The sample size. That's why I think the spirit of that question is valid for Pedro. But I want to say maybe Christian. Who else might be in that conversation? Not a Jovan Jones.
He seemed to go the opposite way, sadly.
Yeah, not Gustav. Gustav kind of always hit the ground running. Will Bruin was good. Like, yeah, I'm trying to think if there was anyone that really
when Will Bruin became a starter, and I mean, I think he was always the same, but you could argue stats wise, Will Bruin could fit on that. 15 when he just took over became a starter and was scoring goals left and right.
Well, I think that was coinciding with the same time that Dempsey had his problems. So he jumped in, and I think that was his first season with us, so I don't think, and he had just come from a long time career. Basically, he was the Paul Areola of Houston.
Yep.
Someone who had just been constantly delivering for that team.
Maybe there's some youth maybe in that conversation from his first year
in the lineup
to after that. I mean,
yeah, because keep in mind his first year, he wasn't he switching on and off with Dylan Remick.
Oh, Remick, yeah, and then Brad Smith after.
And then Brad Smith, yeah.
Yep.
And Jovan Jones, but I think Remick was the first run of that.
Yeah, for sure. Dylan shaved my head at the cancer every year. Gorilla C used to do the shave your head for cancer thing through St. Baldrick's. And so COVID killed that, sadly. And also during COVID, I lost most of my hair. So now I have to, I don't have hair to grow out to shave.
But that is a good question, Kenny. Sorry, Patrick. That's a really fun. That is a really fun question. Just trying to, it also gives us some excuses to do some member berries and think about some of the people. Oh, you know who may be a candidate for that?
Hmm.
And you could pick a couple different eras of this player, Lamar Nagel.
Yeah, it's possible.
Although especially when we, you know, that 2014, when he was a 10 goal, 10 assist player.
Yeah. But my hope is that we have a whole nother level of Pedro.
No, 100%. But we're just trying to think of people who had like those kind of breakouts. It's just unusual. The type of player that we are talking about, there's not a whole bunch of players that would qualify for that. So just anyways, which front three was more dangerous from Alex Diaz?
Well, I think let's talk the match first, because I think that's a specific question about the match. And so let's go through the match and then we'll come back to the Sounder scuttlebutt, just because I think.
Look at you moderating.
Yeah, it's good to keep it going. And the Sounders, of course, came away. Was it 3-1? Was that the final? I lost track.
3-1. 3-1.
I literally walked down the steps and was about two steps behind you when the Sounders scored the third goal.
Oh, I know, because in the highlights, there's you and me hugging and yeah.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I got to go watch the highlights. Yeah. So yeah, Sounders 3 goals. Pedro had 2. And I do have a question. Was Jordan offsides on the one that they took forever to look at VAR on Pedro's goal?
No.
He wasn't? Okay. I never saw the replay, but what I saw, and granted I'm behind the play, but I sit on the equivalent of the 45-yard line on the side they scored. He was offsides, and then he came back around onsides and then went, but he must have come back onside before the pass occurred because he was in front of the defender at one point. So I'm glad. It was close enough that they went to VAR, though.
I mean, in the end, I was a little annoyed that for Antigua's goal, they took a long time to VAR it. They probably, I think they correctly got it right that he was onside. It's very, very close from what I could see.
His elbow was off, in my opinion, and that counts.
I don't think so, because there are two of them side by side. So keep that in mind. So if you're looking at the wrong person, that other person didn't touch the ball, so that and didn't get in the goalie's way. So keep that in mind, because it's the guy on the outside, not the inside. But more importantly, in the lead up to that, Jonathan Bell got absolutely cleared out.
Yeah, that I don't know how you don't review that.
So now with that in mind, you know what? Moving on. I'm not going to – that's all I'll say about that. Moving on.
Whoa, did you hear that loud noise there?
I did not.
Okay, I was pulling up the highlights, and it made a bit of a noise there because I thought I'd play them. But I realized they're not available in English, and so it would just be us talking over the top of them since neither of us speak Spanish.
I speak a little bit.
I speak enough that when someone got in the elevator and they asked me – or they asked someone to press number 3 in Spanish. I pressed it because I knew enough. I don't though.
The number 3 is not
push number 3.
Okay.
I heard the push part too. Okay. Yeah. Trace. Okay. 3. Yeah.
Jackass.
I mean, come on.
Well, man. He also had his fingers up. So, but that's okay.
No, I mean, I did take Duolingo for Spanish for at least 3 months before I switched back to French, and I'm doing beginner French despite the fact I have a degree in it.
So, yeah, I took French in 7th and 8th grade, then I took Spanish from 9th through 12th grade, and then I did 3 semesters of Spanish. My problem is that with my hearing issues, that when it got to total immersion where the teacher was teaching in Spanish, I have a hard enough time hearing in English to understand. So when I'm reading and writing in the language, I'm usually pretty good. It's the speaking and hearing and comprehending on that part that's always a challenge for me.
Yeah, that makes sense.
So what did you think of the lineup going into this? Because I think we had a number of changes from the last match. I think 7 changes, 6 changes. Thomas, Bell, Leyva, Paulo, Gianpaolo, Pedro, Jesus, and Paul.
I mean, I viewed it as 4 changes or 3, yeah, because to me, you're going back to the first game lineup. I viewed last game as a the
The Charlotte
previous
game.
Charlotte game as we were playing backups for a lot of those positions. And so to me, I saw Bell, Thomas, and then our both center defensive mids were different. Those were the big ones for me that so made sense to me.
I'm gonna disagree slightly, and what I mean by that is it's funny because you clarify it as, backups. When I look at these lineups and I think about, I think about traditional previous years when we look at these mixed lineups where we have multiple players who maybe aren't starters. So when I look at this lineup, for example, obviously Andrew Thomas, not our starter, but is starting caliber, Jonathan Bell, not a starter.
Will you back off that mic a tiny bit?
Yep. Danny Leyva, not a starter. But everyone else, definitely, so I think we're looking at, 3 players that are not starters. And then you look at, Charlotte, that Charlotte lineup.
I mean, but Rothrock's not starting for the Sounders this year unless it's spot starts. He's fourth in line at that left mid, probably.
I know, but that's the point, is that is depth, not because of lack of quality.
Oh no, I agree with that. I agree with that. But I'm saying from who our projected starters are, we really only had 3 players that were not regular starters.
Okay, and
And
that's
JP, I think, sadly, is relegated to the backup now, even though there may be a point this season where he becomes a starter again. I don't know what they'll do with Christian and throughout the season, but
I
we'll
mean, I
see.
loved what I saw from him yesterday.
Christian?
JP.
Okay, I was gonna say you loved him on the bench.
I love seeing it. Although funny enough, after the game, as we were leaving the stadium, we took our sweet ass time. We ran into Steph Fry walking over to the ferry.
Oh, nice.
So Bernie was like, "Wait, is what?"
Yeah, he walks to and from every game.
But
yeah, I mean, I
JP,
get
I
what you're
thought, had a
saying for
great
sure.
game. Both JP and Danny Leyva both had great games yesterday. I was
Yeah.
very, very pleased to see that.
I mean, that's what we've come to expect from Danny. So
Okay.
let's go back to Alex's question then, because I think we were talking about the subs, but then let's talk the subs in the game. What front three was more dangerous? Ariola, Ferreira, and Pedro de la Vega, or Rothrock, Rusnak, Georgie? I guess Rusnak wasn't in this match. We saw who was paired with them at that point. It was partially Pedro and partially blanking when the subs happened. But
Well, Pedro played the full 90.
okay, so it was Pedro with Georgie and Rothrock. I mean, I think Rusnak, we've seen his passing, so
I mean,
to me, first half,
overall.
second half of this match versus last match in this match are the two questions.
Well, the thing is, Paul Arriola and Jesus Ferreira have connected on multiple goals now this season already.
Yeah, they
And
clearly know
that's
where
not
each
even
other can
close.
be.
Yeah, not even including preseason.
Yeah.
So they kind of know, they know each other really well, and that's just adding to, that's just adding to our dynamic attack. And I think that's the word I really want to use, is it's
It
dynamic.
is.
It's fun. It's fun sitting in ECS watching the body language of defenders as Georgie's coming up on the wing, because it's 1v1. And each time I could just feel like the defender's like, oh, fuck, here we go again. What's he going to do this time? And it's almost like they're guessing more than reacting. And it's just really exciting. Seeing Rothrock in front of me multiple times this last game, he was trying to cut to the inside. And I like that. When he's mixing it up, sometimes he goes to the outside. But like, I like when he's cutting to the inside, because you get by that defender and now you're in golden position. It's a high risk reward. Unfortunately, if you don't get by them, you're just turning the ball over in possession right there. But I thought that they were balancing it out in different ways to attack, and I really like seeing that, where it's not just, and I think sometimes I see some comments and it makes me laugh, because I realize that we're so used to previous seasons, oh, here we go, we're just doing this. It's like, but we're not. Watch what we're doing, watch the different ways we're attacking. And I've gotta say, I hope he's not getting it inside his own head, because Musovski was creating dangerous opportunities.
I think he is getting in his own.
I do think so. Unfortunately, I don't want to kick.
It's several that he could have scored on that he just. And that's, you know.
And they weren't easy chances, like the one where the goalie spilled the ball and he just turned because he knew he just had to fire it, and he went high.
Right. He leaned back. It's boobs exactly. Over ball. Come on, man. I spent some time talking to him last year at the Rave Gala. Nicest dude. He wants to perform. He feels that pressure. And I think in that moment, he wants nothing more to succeed for the fans. And there's a lot of pressure on him. And I think it'll get less throughout the season as he gets playing time. That's something that he didn't get a lot of last year. And so that was the problem.
I think it's also going to be a matter of, you know, when he gets that first one, I hope to God it's at home.
Yeah.
I hope it's at home where he can have his Pedro moment.
Yeah.
Like yesterday, hearing the whole stadium screaming De La Vega, and just
he seemed a little shy after the match, though. Pedro, he didn't, when it was like Pedro mi amor, he like clapped and was like sheepishly walking away. I don't know if he likes that song.
I mean, it's a, you know, is that going to be what the permanent song is, or is a new song going to evolve? Who knows? We didn't have enough reason to use it last year. So right, I think we got some work to do. You know, things often kind of come organically on that.
I mean, for me, if we're talking about it, I know you believe that Georgie isn't a one-tool player. I also believe that now, but
thank you.
But to me, there's, despite the fact they didn't score, they aren't going to score more goals this early in season because we didn't finish. But I think Areola, Ferreira, PDLV is going to ultimately be more dangerous goal wise than Rothrock, Rusnak, and Georgie. And it's only because you have more talent there. I think if you throw in Rusnak in there, for either Ferreira or Areola, and I don't see, that's the problem. We have four players right there that makes it really tough. Either of those guys, I think you then are a killer. Like it's just an embarrassment of riches for the Sounders on the attack side right now.
It is a blast being in the front of the stadium, you know, front row of ECS, so almost eye level. Watching the pace that Areola is putting on those crosses when he's whipping a ball in, it's going to beat that first man, and then then it just becomes a matter of, you know, is it going to come in at enough of a, you know, technique for someone to get on the end of it. Really, really impressed with this team right now. I'm very, very happy.
Yeah.
I will say, the game was a little physical at times. Their goalie took a collision where Rothrock came flying in, just couldn't avoid him, and it It made me cringe. In front of you? Yeah.
Because on the opposite side, their goalie, when he got hurt in the game and was down for a while, it was his own player that did it.
Oh, like, no. And that also happened. That also happened. I think that's when Musovski went high because he came out, got his hand on it.
He injured his defender, right? The goalie landed on his defender.
Exactly. Exactly. But then a few minutes later, Rothrock just cleaned him out. And it wasn't intentional, but it did look painful.
Yeah.
Totally.
So who's your man of the match? Alex Diaz asked us, and I think that's a good question.
I mean, you got to go Pedro with two goals and just destroying. But let's take away the who is your secondary man of the match. I mean, that's really kind of the more interesting question for me. And
I mean, Bell was solid. Ariola was solid. It's tough, right? Like
for me, it's either JP or Danny Leyva. I thought they just were bossed. Solid.
I think JP. I would put above just a little bit above Leyva. Leyva had a great game. He didn't get as many opportunities to pass the ball up the field, at which we've seen what he can do passing it at an angle.
Yeah,
but he did. He had a few up to Jordan that were fantastic. That either bounced off the back of Jordan's feet, or you know, I think that's going to be a very interesting process there to see the two connect throughout the season because we've seen. And I think maybe that's why Atencio became a little bit expendable was at the end of last season, we saw what Leyva could do on the field. We saw the kind of passes he could put down and saw his continued development in a way that meant that he is going to get minutes.
I mean, taking it to account, it's probably JP. I mean, he was 95% passing, went the full 90, 80 of 84. So 80 of 84 passing, 96 touches, 5 for 6 on long balls, 83%, 3 for 3 on tackles, 5 clearances, 7 recoveries, just had a really good game, 2 interceptions, you know, he had a really good game. But a lot of good stuff going all around. Andrew Thomas came up when he needed to. That goal, I'm not going to put any blame on Andrew Thomas on that one. And he had some really good saves when he needed to.
Yeah, totally. I actually felt bad for Andrew Thomas that on that goal, that he didn't have a clean sheet because he deserved one.
I agree.
It's frustrating, but
What about you? So you're going with
JP.
JP? Yeah.
Yeah. I think we saw some flashes of what Danny can do. Danny the Moose is what I meant to say. Danny Musovski off the bench could do. Alex mentioned that he was a letdown, but I think from where he was coming from last year, just seeing him get some minutes and get himself in really dangerous positions was huge. And so hopefully he still gets those opportunities moving forward and he will start finishing those.
Let's do a thought process here, a thought exercise.
Yeah.
So the last, basically the last 4 years in that role, we've had Danny Musovski, Hebert, Freddie Montero, Dylan Tevez. That's basically been our options up top in a backup role. Am I missing someone?
I don't think so. No one to note.
One, the offensive positions are always going to be, you know, a bench player. It's very hard to find that balance of getting dollars.
I mean, we're used to a Will Bruin type player is the thing.
Yeah.
And that's not realistic probably.
No. And that was kind of a special circumstance for sure. But now with that said, I genuinely think Musovski is the best of those four for the role that they're being asked to play at this time.
I mean, I think at the time that the players came in, Hebert was putting up basically the same numbers as Raul per 90.
Yeah.
He just, I think, aged out. He just
his drop was alarming.
And
going into signing him, I was really excited about bringing in Hebert.
Yeah, everything showed that he was going to be, I wouldn't say a star, but he was a 4A, if we're talking like baseball, not AAA. Like, here's a guy that's coming off the bench and could start for some teams.
Exactly.
So yeah, but you're right. I mean, Musovski, we've talked about it before in the show, has been successful everywhere he's been, but here.
But I still think there's time.
There is. And so, especially if they believe in him because they kept him around as the backup.
Yeah.
He had another year on his contract, but he's getting paid enough that they could have moved on.
And by the way, Hebert was in the Chinese Super League, had 8 goals last year in 24 appearances.
Okay.
Just as an FYI. I think he needed to change of pace.
His time like, here was
got in his own head, and I hope that doesn't happen.
Even
hope
in
that
practice,
doesn't happen.
He was frustrated. You could see, like, I went to practices where he couldn't do anything.
Well, he also had like a nagging injury after he scored his first. Yeah. You know, he scored early, and then Anyways, so great to see Rienzi get even just a short appearance in the game. You know, we signed him for a short term loan.
He clearly had family there too, because he was pretty excited waving at them after the game.
Now, what I really liked is the fact that we subbed on Musovski in the 46th minute at the beginning of second half. We subbed on Nuhu and Rothrock in the 57th minute, and then Georgie in the 74th minute. So we found a good way to balance getting Jordan off early, getting Yamar, getting who was the other player? Paul Areola off early, and I think that's going to come into play on Saturday. So I thought that was encouraging to see.
Do you think the Yamar, I mean, when Yamar came off, it was 2-1 game.
Yeah.
Do you think taking him off, there's a few options here. Is it just that he's older and that's going to happen more often, which I think is a strong possibility? He's clearly at the present moment, not at the fitness level he was most of last year. Whether that's losing a step or just the season just started, yet to be seen. Do you think it was that, or do you think it was, we don't want another, like if he gives up another late goal like that, it can really hurt his head at the moment. And so it was almost like, get him off so that he doesn't have a chance to make a mistake, because we've seen him make quite a few this year.
It's a good question, but I don't think it's that, because we still had a little bit to play with. We had a little bit of, you know, I don't think it was that. I think it's, we're going to see that happen a little bit more. Next time it might be Jackson Reagan. Yeah. You know, previously it's been Nuhu. So I think we're being afforded this opportunity to change up and sub, because now we've got 2 more games added to our schedule.
Yeah.
So recognizing that you cannot just go, oh yeah, well, Yamar and Jackson can go the full 90. No, you got to find opportunities to get them little rests here and there. And also, not a bad idea to make sure players like Jonathan Bell, make sure players like Danny Leyva get more minutes in cup competition, given that we may be needing them as we, you know, we take on the Cruz Azuls of the world.
I mean, I think just in general, getting them more minutes so that when they come on, they've already had minutes that let them be in position to succeed now, because they're fresh.
Yeah, and interestingly enough,
sharp. They're fresh because they're having breaks, but they're sharp because they're getting minutes. Now, I will, real quick, before you say that, because we mentioned John Bell, how lucky are we to have a player that can start at left back, start at center back, and move in between them in the game? I mean, the fact that he was able to move over was awesome.
Well, we have 2 of them. Nuhu could do it as well. You know,
I was actually surprised. I thought Nuhu might come in at center back, but clearly they like John Bell better at that position.
Yeah, we have a lot of tactical flexibility in our roster, and that's not just limited to our offense. I mean, keep in mind, Alex Roldan as a right back, but he plays center attacking. He plays attacking, center attacking mid and off the wing for El Salvador. When he was playing with them, I don't think he's going to be playing with them much anymore, because their federation doesn't really have their shit together. And there were problems with the players getting paid. And so they were refusing contracts, call-ups, and going on strike. So unfortunately, until they get some things sorted out, we may not see much of Alex in El Salvador going forward, even though he was a former captain of them.
They just got a new coach, so at least that's a move in the right direction. Hernan Dario Gomez.
Well, that also happened a few years ago with Jovan Jones. Also, maybe there's change in the foot. So that could, because I know that happened with Trinidad and Tobago, with Jovan Jones. They were having similar issues a few years ago. Sometimes countries that don't have strong high-level soccer, these international games are unfortunately ripe for exploitation and corruption.
Yeah, I mean, we saw Chuck Blazer and many other people in CONCACAF.
Yeah.
I mean, it was CONCACAF Champions League, but what was that one owner who – I feel like maybe it was a club from Trinidad who made it. He was like 50 and he put himself on the team and he was out there playing in a Champions League match.
Unbelievable. Unbelievable. Any other things of note from the game yesterday?
No, it was exciting. I think some of the non-scoring we will see more of once Jordan's one-on-ones, Rothrock. I think Rothrock is probably a little not sharp just because he hasn't been getting minutes. I mean, he started last game, but even in preseason, he was only playing, 45 minutes tops. So Pedro has taken over that midfield. He's the, as we saw in preseason. So, I think as more minutes get played early in the season, we're going to see a lot more success from our offense because we see that they can move the ball. I will say I was frustrated that at halftime, just before the half, when we were still dangerous, still pushing, we just started passing it around instead of trying to have one more chance because we had their backs against the wall and couldn't finish it, and it really bugged me. But ultimately, obviously, it didn't matter. But I would have liked to see us throw a few more crosses into the box just to try and make something dangerous happen.
Yeah. And by the way, just in case you're like me and you have a wandering eye, you can get to Mexico City right now for that March 10th match under $500.
Yeah, I looked at Aero Mexico and it was a little expensive, but that sounds better.
But yeah, so just something to think about. And I know Aero Mexico does have a nonstop, and that doesn't suck. It's almost worth, because I know $550. I see a nonstop round trip.
And you could take them one way and come back on another flight. I think they are much cheaper down than they are coming back.
Exactly. And yeah, back in the day, what was really nice is back in the day, Southwest flew to Mexico City. Mm-hmm. So for the 2016 Champions League, I went through Southwest. Unfortunately, they cut off that line because that was really affordable.
Yeah, I think when I went, 2013 maybe, 2014, somewhere in there for my birthday, I was on Alaska, but we had standby passes, so it was free. $2. But coming back, you don't forget you do have to pay the country of Mexico a fee to leave the country. So you have to add that on. I think we paid $60.
Yeah, I mean the hotel I always stay at is usually it's like a three star equivalent here, kind of like a Courtyard Marriott type of vibe, in the Roma district.
Roma district
within a 20-minute walk of 4 of the top 50 bars in the world. You can walk to Lucha Libre if you want to go check out some luchador wrestling matches.
Nicholas, I thought we weren't supposed to walk alone in the city of Mexico.
Oops. One of my favorite memories is walking with my buddy John, Mexico City at night, just going, okay, we're not going to cross these four streets, and gave ourselves like a walking from one street to the other. If we were going all the way, it'd be like a 45-minute walk. Give ourselves a huge wide area to walk and just wander.
Yeah.
It's I love that city so much. Anyway, so back to the game. I have nothing else to add. Do we have any more scuttlebutt about the game?
I don't think so. I think just, we've got RSL coming up, which we will talk about. We've got Cruz Azul. Eric 13 asks, what do you think the rotation will be with four hard games in the next 11 days? Because we also have LAFC, of course, on the 8th. I think at this point you go
RSL,
on CONCACAF.
Yes. Yes, you have to bring your best possible lineups, and not the code of, oh, our best possible lineups that need the rotations. You bring your best possible lineups for the two matches. Oh, someone asked a really interesting question. I can't remember where I saw it, but it was Alex Diaz again. In competitions like this, would you rather have the home leg first or be away first? Rather play away from home in the first leg and finish the match at home. Yeah, I think that's usually my preferred matchup. And as a matter of fact, the way this tournament is set up is that based on the results in the previous round, that's kind of determines who's going to be the home team and who's going to be the away team.
Oh, wait, so it's a benefit to be the home team first?
No, it's a benefit to be the home team second.
Oh, yes, correct. Which I just assume that Cruz Azul is a higher seed than us. That's why we didn't get it.
I believe it's because Cruz Azul in the previous round had more
goals or something.
More
That's
goals.
Stupid.
Or actually, you know what? I may have that back. It may also be, and I got to think about this. It may also have been that, because they won 5-0 on their one leg and 2-0 on the other. So they're up 7-0. But it may also be that the first two legs were predetermined by seeding, and then in the next round, it's based on the results in the first two rounds of the tournament.
Either way, I don't like that. I mean,
it takes into consideration those things.
Yeah, I mean, let's see, Cruz Azul. Yeah, because the team Cruz Azul played was much easier than us.
But it's a draw. It's not like that's just how the draw went. You know, the draws were randomed. You know, so that happens. So, anyways, the other thing that was interesting is keep in mind the Sounders have not lost a CONCACAF Champions League game since 2018. Okay. They're on, I believe, an 11 or a 12 game unbeaten streak. That's
like
very impressive.
I'd like to see that.
Very impressive. And this is just the payoff of years of emphasizing even like the inaugural League's Cup showcase where only 8 teams were involved, all the way down to us scheduling friendlies against Tijuana, against Boca.
I mean, that's what we did those every year. That's who we were supposed to be playing against to prove that we could hang with them.
Exactly. So it's just so great to see. I'm not going to say it. I'm not going to go full A team. I'm not going to do it. But it's great to see that that planning pay off.
Yeah.
So really well done by Garth, because that was a Garth thing to prepare the team for those things. And obviously Brian Schmetzer, it's almost taken for granted sometimes when you hear him say it, but we're the Seattle Sounders. We play to win every competition that we're in.
I mean, not true, but yes.
I disagree.
I don't think we play the MLS. I think we play to win the MLS playoffs, but not the MLS.
No, I disagree. Playing to win does not necessarily mean it's your starting 11, your best starting 11 each time.
I guess so. I would argue it is, because then you would want to win. But Also, we know that Brian likes to disobey orders on who to bench. So maybe he does mean that when he's playing players that are supposed to be sitting and resting. Because he has a different, what's the word? It's his butt on the line.
Yeah.
You know?
I mean, as a manager, you're hired to be fired.
Yeah.
So back to the rotation question. Yeah, I think we put on the top players. In this case, I expect to see our ideal starting 11 for both Cruz Azul games, or at least the first Cruz Azul game at home is going to be our best 11. Yeah.
The only question I have is, will it be Rusnak or will it be Areola?
I mean,
to me, that's everyone else we know who's going to be playing. If we're playing our best 11, that's what it's going to come down to, is which of those two players.
Yeah.
So we'll see.
Great stuff.
Yeah. So let's talk RSL real quick. We can leave Cruz Azul till after this, cause I'm sure we'll have time to talk them in between matches there. So
yeah,
we're playing at Salt Lake Saturday, March 1st at 1:30 PM. Traveling out to Sandy, Utah is never easy, as we talked.
Is that 1:30 our time or 1:30 mountain time?
It's 1:30 our time.
Okay.
Because that's what Google is telling me, and it tells me local time. Yes, all times are Pacific. According to Google, Salt Lake has a 39% chance of winning. We have a 32% chance, and there's a 29% chance of a draw. I think that's fair, considering we haven't won there since 2012.
Yeah.
I also love that it's part of now. We're going to have matches all day long on Apple, not just at 7:30 PM or whatever. So we can again watch soccer all day.
Yeah.
Oh, you sound disappointed.
I'm not going to be. I need to sleep at some point during the day.
Well, you only need to watch the Sounders match. You don't need to watch the rest.
But I really was enjoying the 360 watch around show in the first week of the season. So we'll see.
Yeah. So who should we look out for, do you think, from RSL's side? Did you get a chance to look at anything that they've?
Well, yeah. Right now they're a fucking hot mess.
Yeah.
They are struggling right now. So really they lost their best players over the off season. So taking a quick look at who started yesterday. Yeah. I don't want to say I don't fear them, but they got their, you know, they got their asses handed them against San Jose on week one.
Yeah.
Then they lost in Champions League. So really, I mean, I don't even want to say Diego Luna might be the closest thing they got to, you know, dangerous Pablo Ruiz, but they're just, I don't know. I hope they don't figure it out over the next, you know, 4 days.
I mean, it would be surprising. Their fans are in a revolt right now, because they sold off their best players and raised ticket prices, yet didn't bring anyone in to replace them. Also, they raised beer prices. A domestic beer is now $14.99 in their stadium. Premium.
They have beer in Utah?
Yeah, you can get beer in Utah only on certain days, and sometimes it might be near beer, but the craft beers are $16.99. That's way more than we pay, isn't it? I don't know. I don't drink beer at the stadium.
Yeah, I try to avoid it right now.
So, it's their fans are upset. They're upset with the player's quality they have. I feel like they are where Sounders fans were at last year, but with proper reason to be there.
Yeah, I think that's probably fair.
So we'll see. I mean, losing to them would be bad. It would not reflect well on this team. I think we have to get a draw there, in my opinion.
I don't want to use ultimatums. We just had this conversation.
I know. We already dropped 2 points to Charlotte. We can't.
Yeah, I get that. But let's put it this way. What would be nice is getting our first win there since 2012, and I think only our third win all time there.
Yeah. I mean, I'd be happy with a draw at this point.
But I mean, yeah, if we can get a win there, to me, that cancels out the Charlotte.
Yeah.
You know, because a draw in RSL and a win at home, you know, that cancels that out. So
dropping points does, I mean, it come back to hurt us in, what was the year where we went to that match up in, did you come up with us into the, in Vancouver in the suite? In the
Sounders
that game and we fell out of first place and finished, I think, third instead.
Yeah, because that was the year Colorado won the
conference. Yeah, so it was rough. Like Sounders dropping points in matches that they looked like they were going to win really, really came back to bite us that year. So,
I mean, though, let's be honest. It's every team is going to drop matches in the course of a season. We have a natural proclivity to remember when it happens to us. So that's going to happen. Right now, as long as we keep looking like we're playing attacking dynamic soccer like this, I'm not going to – it sounds weird, but I'm not going to worry as much about the results right now and focus on Champions League, Champions Cup. As long as we're looking – we've got the talent to win these games. I think gone are the days where we're punting a – midweek game against Austin with five teenagers and three of them being call-ups and Raul Ruiz Diaz against Austin.
Yeah.
So that's a great thing. That's definitely a great thing. I even believe, I mean, honestly, in our worst case scenario, our starting attacker is Danny Musovski, but then you look at any of the attackers behind them and that's still a lot of talent to put some chances up there.
Yeah, agreed.
And so I can't say it enough. It's such an impressive roster right now.
I mean, I would expect our starting lineup to be Danny up top.
Yeah.
I mean, Jordan wants it, but I think he's got to sit sometime. He didn't sit. I guess he only played a half, so potentially he could. But I would love to see him fresh for the match at home on Wednesday. So
yeah, because that's coming up. Tuesday, March 4th.
Oh, it's Tuesday now? Okay.
Well, wait.
They said the match was Wednesday last night. So that's.
Hang on a second. Because our tickets were caught. Your card is being charged tonight. Get your tickets now. Cruz Azul. March 5th. Okay. Foot Mob has not updated their thing. Okay.
Yeah. Because I think we largely have had the other side of the bracket has had those Tuesday games.
Okay.
So far. So Wednesday. And then, you know, you could have any combination of those, but I would expect Georgie and Rothrock to start again.
It's hard for me to make a prediction on this, but at the same time, they've got options. They've got a lot of options.
Yeah. I just think it's better seeing, you know, Rusnak like he did, or, you know, a player like that coming off the bench. I won't say Rusnak because he could start. They might want to give him the minutes. It's better to see our starters come off the bench than to start and take them off after 45 minutes, generally, is what I think. Because you might not need them.
But speaking of which, we need to kind of talk really quick about our winners from yesterday's match as far as our prediction standings.
So I think that's a good way to end the show. Are we done with RSL?
I think so. Sure. Prediction. We'll talk about we can talk about our prediction right now.
1-1 is I'm going to say for RSL.
I'm going to say 2-0 us.
Yeah, I love it.
I do. I think it's time.
Good.
It is time.
I mean, we are a much better team. They should not be a threat. We should win this. This is one of those games we should win.
So with that in mind, we had not one, but two people get all 5 points. They predicted not only the correct final score, they also took the over, and they also got the...
Are you falling asleep over there? What's happening?
No, I'm looking at the chart, and I'm wondering if I somehow screwed up my sorting. So I gotta go check the thing. We had two people get everything right, but now I just need to make sure over, yes, and then because I think when I pasted it in, it something didn't work right. But the points are correct. So the two people that got everything right were the gentleman that was sitting right next to me, Eric 13,
yeah,
and Jeff Ram. So congratulations to both of you.
When did I say the score was going to be? Do you have
what's that?
I thought I said 3-1, but I must not have.
You put in here. Let's see here. You put Cameron.
I know I got the score right.
You got three. You got 3 out of 5. You got the Seattle win.
Mm-hmm. I got the score right. Yeah.
Yep. You took the under.
Oh, there you go.
So you took the under. You said it was going to be 2-1.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, 2-1. Yeah, and then so you got the 3 points. I got 2 points. Our colleague in San Diego got 2 points. But yeah, so I think what I'll probably do is I gotta sort this out and make sure that. I'm not sure why the sorting got all funky, but
do you have who's number one on the season so far?
Well, that's what I was just about to get to. I got to double check that stuff. So I think we'll probably maybe we'll release that in the near future once I get that sorted out and make sure we're all good there.
So if you're not on our Discord, join our Discord because that's where you get a chance to put in these picks that you can be a part of the contest and also. That's where you can see the results.
Yeah, so some good times.
If you are not on there, the Discord, of course, will be a link will be available in the show description.
That's probably a good idea. We should do that. All right. Well, Cameron, you got anything else to add?
No, I think that's good. I think that. I'm looking forward to this weekend and seeing what the Sounders can do in a difficult location. How about you?
You mean like the back of a Volkswagen?
Yeah. Yes. Yes, Shannon.
There we go. They can find me at Instagram at Cascades2C. Twitter at Nikita Banana, and then I don't know, on Blue Sky I'll probably have to just figure it out.
You don't have one yet?
I do. I just don't know what it is. I barely touch base on it.
Yeah, I'm Legal Minded Punk on everything. Go Sounders, and I don't know, you have any last wise words before James takes it away?
No wise words at all. Just keep up the fun. Let's get some points. Points are good. Points are our friend.
Oh, yeah. Go out and review the podcast. Give us 5 stars. It helps us, gets us up in the ratings and the rankings, and gets more listeners' ears on it so that we can keep doing this.
I agree.
We love you all, and we'll see you next time.
You can follow the Sounders Scuttlebutt podcast on Twitter at @SSFCScuttlebutt. And for all inquiries, including questions for the gents or sponsorship opportunities, please email contact@scuttlebuttproductions.com. Be sure to subscribe to the show for new episodes following every Sounders FC match. And don't forget to share your feedback by rating and reviewing. And you can follow me on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook at BritVoxus. That's BritVoxUS. We'll see you at Lumen, and go Sounders.
Alexa, who's the best MLS team of all time? Seattle Sounders are both unequivocally and irrefutably the best MLS team of all time.